You are Locked On Buckeyes, your daily podcast on the Ohio State Buckeyes. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is up, Buckeye fans? Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Buckeyes for the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jay Stevens, also the host of the Jay Stevens Podcast. It is Tuesday, June 14th in the year 2021. And no matter if you're listening via one of the numerous audio ways you can check out the podcast on either the Odyssey app or Apple Podcast, or if you're watching us on YouTube, I want to thank you for making Locked On Buckeyes a part of your day. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at jstevens07. You can also follow the podcast on Twitter as well at Locked On Buckeye. Lineup for today, we will be joined by Mr. Shane Larson, also known as the Game Time Guru, as he says so often on his podcast. Also, the Boise Buckeye. You can check him out at the Scarlet and Gray Empire on YouTube. Corey Thompson, who's a frequent guest here on the podcast, him and Shane do a phenomenal job with that show covering the Ohio State Buckeyes. Check them out on YouTube. They also have the audio or the audio up for their shows. You can check that out over on the Apple Podcast, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your fine podcast. Before we welcome Shane in to today's episode to talk about college football playoff and the pros and cons of it, I want to make sure to remind you to check out the Locked On Big Ten podcast, because there's simply no better place to get all the news on the Big Ten Conference than with Big Ten Ben Stevens and the Locked On Big Ten podcast. Follow the Locked On Big Ten podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your fine podcast. And without further ado, we're going to welcome in Shane Larson. Follow him on Twitter at the Game Time Guru. It's him and I talk about college football playoff expansion. And joining us now here on Locked On Buckeyes, it's a gentleman, a young man. I say young on purpose. Him and I have done some shows previously. I think he's been here once before since I've been the host of this podcast. It is Shane Larson from the Scarlet and Gray Empire. Almost said Ohio State something, but the Scarlet and Gray Empire. You can follow him on Twitter at the Game Time Guru. Shane, how are you doing?
Doing great, Jay. Excited to be here, man. Thanks for letting me join you, brother.
No problem, man. This is a topic, expansion. Had a feeling it was going to happen eventually. Not sure when from my point of view, but it seems like we're really, really close to getting an answer as far as what the new format will look like and when it'll start. Right now, 12-team format has been proposed. I believe there are going to be meetings this coming up Thursday and Friday. The 12-team format, first four teams will get a bye. Top six, power five, the top Power 5 conference championship winners, they will be the ones to get automatic bids. Plus, the top Group of 5 conference champion, they will get an automatic bid. And then 6 at-large bids. Notre Dame, if they are undefeated, the top 4 teams do get a bye, but Notre Dame cannot get a bye in the proposal that is being proposed right now or later this week. Shane, before we get into the Ohio State side, when you first heard about the proposal, the 12-team format, what did you think?
I was surprised, Jay, to be quite honest, because the only reason I was surprised, not in a bad way necessarily, is just because, for one, we've been having this discussion for the last couple of years. And I did not expect a 12-team format to be proposed. I was thinking maybe six, like a 6-team format, because that's what I had heard in the media from the big shots, you know. And then when they put out the 12-team proposal, I was like, okay, I like this, at least the idea of it. And then just hearing the details, obviously, you know, we could break it down a little deeper. I like it, but there will be, contrary to what some people think, there is going to be just as much, if not more, drama than there was with the 14 format. And people are going to disagree with me on that, I think, but that is the reality, and we can get into that in a little bit about that. So,
no, I think you're right. I personally don't like the 12-team format. I like the exclusivity of striving and fighting for that top four thing. I wasn't really a fan of the playoff originally, but I do see how it has really benefited and really just gives that exclusive group of teams, because in years in the playoff and even previously, you might get three undefeated teams, and then you got to kind of figure out who the top team is. I kind of have come around to the 14, but to 12, to me, it's too much. But you're right. I do think that there will be questions. There will be debates. There will be things that people may not think about now that'll come up down the road. I think one of those things, Shane, I don't know if you thought about this, but I think you could see the transfer portal be more full in college football than in college basketball. I don't know how it's going to – I think it may affect recruiting in some way, but I think the transfer portal may actually have a more effect on the youngsters because I think they may be leaving, Shane, earlier and a lot quicker than some people may think.
That's an interesting point that I actually haven't thought too much of about the transfer portal. I could see your point there. I think it was already kind of leaning that way anyways. The transfer portal basically made free agency in the, you know, collegiate athletics. But what I think you're going to see, it's going to be a mixture of a lot of things, just based on the conversations I've had with different people in regards to like name, image, and likeness, which is getting a major push right now. People can, you know, these athletes are getting super, super close for the NCAA regulating you being able to leverage your name, image, and likeness. And so they're going to be looking for brands. So you're going to see a lot of players. It's not necessarily just the college football playoff. It's going to be the transfer portal was, in my opinion, probably going to get, you know, pretty busy based on branding as soon as that stuff also goes into effect, because now kids are going to be able to get paid. And they can do, you know, that's going to be a big thing too in the near future. So I think it's going to be a mixture of all of it. So I could definitely see this playing a big part in that too, man. I never thought of it from that perspective, but I definitely don't disagree with you.
It's just, it's one of those things. It's weird because during the BCS era, I enjoyed that. I know you being a Boise State grad may think a little bit different from your group of five situation than me, really more focusing on the Power Five schools. Even when I was a youngster, before hosting the show, I was still more focused on the power schools, your Oklahoma, Ohio State, Alabama, your Texas back then, the USC's. Not so much USC or Texas now, but that's more my focus is. But there's so many different details, so many different things that go into this 12-team format. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for a vehicle and choose brands, specifications, and even prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck, right? Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. And before we get into the, I keep pushing this back on purpose, before we get into the Ohio State pros and cons of this, do you think it's wise to give the top four teams a bye, knowing that they'll miss out on the gate money, the ticket money, the concession stands, all of those things that you miss out, especially the atmosphere when they host the game?
From that standpoint, if you're looking at it from a business standpoint, any games missed is going to be a problem. However, if you were going to expand it, looking for the safety of the players and so forth, and like, you know, because the whole discussion has come up of if you expand the games, give too many games, and then it's the same concept of like these players, they have an extra opportunity to get hurt. Some of them are going to be playing at the next level, and there's a lot of conversations that go there. So yeah, if you're looking at it from a business standpoint, they'll definitely take a hit. However, I think with the expansion, the college football playoff as a whole, yeah, the gate money for that particular school is going to be lower. But here's the thing. They're going to be in the next round. They're going to get that back anyways, because the next each, you know, round is going to get more and more expensive. You look at the NBA playoffs. I'm trying to find tickets to the Jazz games. Just game five right now, lower bowl seats for the Clippers. I mean, it's going to be $400 minimum. So I'm talking like every round you go, it's going to get more expensive. That's the whole concept that I'm trying to make there. So they'll make it back. But plus the college football playoff pool of money will be distributed equally amongst everybody too. So I think that they're going to have a way of, you know, making that up. So yeah, they might miss out on the gate money, the atmosphere, but they're going into, they don't have to play. They're going to stay safe. They're going to go into the next game though, and they're going to be fresh. And so it's going to make it up for, from that standpoint. That being said, man, it is tough. You had mentioned the BCS format in the past, and just from a group of five standpoint, here's the deal. Like, I think they've done a great job all things considered, with the 12-team format, as much as I think there's going to be a lot of drama, they've done a great job incorporating everybody. We're talking the Group of Five has their opportunity. The BCS I thought was fair too, to be quite honest, even for the Group of Five schools, the small schools. Boise State had their shot at it. They beat Oklahoma. I was at that game. So, I mean, the BCS format, I mean, some people would disagree, but I liked it. It gave everybody a shot. And, I mean, now you got an opportunity too with this. So it gives everybody an opportunity to get in there, whether or not, you know, the seeding is going to be one thing. And just so everybody knows, there's going to be a lot more drama, man, because somebody's going to get in, somebody's going to get left out. And this is where you're going to see the discussion, especially Buckeyes fans. You guys are going to hear me out here. There could be a year where Ohio State might lose two games, right? Or, you know, one of those games in the regular season, maybe they don't win the Big Ten championship, but they are still, in our opinion, top 10 program. But maybe the SEC has three or four schools in the top 10. You're going to get mad. There's going to be some people that are flustered. It's going to happen more often than not. Now that we have more teams in there, more teams, more conferences, there's going to be the discussion of which conference is stronger, all this stuff. It's going to get amplified. You add more teams to the mix, it's going to get amplified. Then it's going to say, oh, well, the SEC bias from ESPN is doing this and all this stuff, and the Pac-12 is going to get left out and all this jazz. Yeah, you're going to get your top schools in there. They're going to help the conference winners. That's great. But that's not who I'm worried about. I'm worried about the ones who didn't win. For example, the Ohio State team, when we lost to Michigan State and we didn't make it into the year that we didn't make it to the College Bowl, that was arguably our best team ever, right? What if that team, you know, we thought, well, that would have been great for a playoff expansion, but what if that team got jumped by a couple SEC schools and an ACC program or something, and we didn't have a chance at it because, one, we didn't make the championship game, so all these teams were ahead of us, and we didn't make it in the top 12 for some reason just because the rankings went weird. We would have been pissed. So I'm just saying, like, there's going to be some drama. That's all I got to say.
No, yeah, I agree. There will be drama. I don't think there's ever going to be a way in college football based off the history of the sport, and I'm planning on doing some more deep diving just in my own private time into the history and trying to figure out why in the world it got to this point anyway. Because there was no point for it to be this now. You could have started this 50, 60, 70 years ago, but college football has always been that one sport that always gets in the way at some point. Things are going well, but there's always those discussions where people are always disagreeing about things. And I know Ohio State fans will disagree about things. There are pros, Shane, to the 12-team format. There are also some cons for the Ohio State's point of view on the format, the proposal. I'm going to stick with the proposal right now, the 12-team format. I don't know if that's going to stick. I could easily see them going down to 8 teams. I could see them going down to 16 teams right now. Saying, let's say things get started in 2023. I could easily see them going down to 8 or 16 and saying, well, the first round of games, I know originally we were going to say the top four teams get a bye. Well, the first round, everybody's playing, and you host a home game, because I know everybody's going to get the piece of the pie, but I think some of those schools might want to host the game because it means a lot to them and their fans to host the game. But, Shane, what are some pros to this proposed 12-team format for the Ohio State Buckeyes?
First and foremost, it gets us an opportunity to get into the game. Like, I mean, we play in a very, very difficult conference. And there's the debate of the Big Ten being, you know, whatever it may be. Sometimes it's really loaded and sometimes it's top heavy. That being said, typically speaking, even when it's a top heavy conference, we do have one or two really tough games to go through that year. And, you know, it allows for the slip up to happen. It's very difficult to be perfect in any level of sports. And so it allows us to have that grace period. Like, if we do slip up, at least we've got a shot at competing. And I think that's the main point. I mean, everybody kind of sees that. I think that's going to be massive. It's going to be great for recruiting for all schools, but for Ohio State especially, it gives you another opportunity to continue to prove your worth. A lot of people will say, well, you know, if we're the best team in the country, which year to year, like, we're one of the top three teams in the country every single year. And if you really want to prove yourself, a playoff format, in my opinion, is a great way to do that. You're going to go up against these schools. You're going to show different types of conferences that you can play in a big setting. And it's going to be great to help with the recruiting process. It's going to be helping with the brand. The brand's already there, but I think it continues to amplify that. And, I mean, for the school itself, you're probably going to get a lot of students who want to go there. So, I mean, it's a marketing tool. Money, revenue is going to be generated because of it. and it's going to be awesome for the athletes and recruiting. So those are the pros. Obviously, it gives us an opportunity to win a national championship, even if you slip up. That's the biggest thing, in my opinion. You can slip up and still win a national championship, whereas in some years we've witnessed it, whether it be our program or another program, you slip up and you're done.
Do you think, I know, and I ask you this question knowing that you are a fan of high school football, basketball there in your area, do you think, and this is something that I keep prefacing this by different statements, people have been saying, Shane, this is too many games. You may play 16, 17 games in one season. That's a lot for FBS level. Two more, possibly two more, than what your current champion would normally get by playing 15 games, 12 regular season, one conference championship for most national championship winners. Then you play the semifinal, then national championship game. That's 15 games. Is adding two more games too much for these youngsters?
That is the difficult discussion. That's why I think a bye is important. I think that's why you fight for a bye, kind of going back to my earlier point there. It is a lot of games, and a lot of people say, well, what in the heck? Well, in the NFL and the NBA and whatever, you're talking pro sports, yeah, these players are getting paid per game, so they're going to get an extra little bit of cash for that. Currently speaking, that's not the case. That's a deep discussion, but I mean, you know what I mean. At the collegiate level, you're putting these athletes at risk, especially the ones that could potentially go on to the next level, right? The next level, especially like maybe their juniors or seniors, going to be going out to the NFL, right? And they're going to be draft picks. You know, are they going to want to play those extra games and put the extra wear and tear on their body? I don't think people fully understand, Jay, how much, you know, wear and tear goes on the body. When I spoke with David Irving, former Dallas Cowboy, he talked to us about a typical football game. It took him 4 days to recover from a football game. 4 days, because he played on the defensive line. And he said he's got broken fingers still to this day. His knees hurt. You'd go to practice on a Wednesday, Thursday, and you just kind of make it through. And by the time Sunday comes around, he'd be fine. It's the same thing when you're getting at the top level of college football, where you're playing the best of the best week in and week out for the most part, or you're a team like Ohio State where everybody's giving you 100%. It doesn't matter if they're the crappiest team in the conference, they're going to give you 100%. So you have to be on your game and play as hard as you can every single game. You can't take a week off. And so, yeah, it's going to be, to me, I think there is a little bit of a risk factor there. People can say what they want. Yeah, the money's going to be a lot better. I think the NCAA is going to cash in, but they always cash in. What do we do with that extra money, though? How do we incentivize these players? There better be some good insurance plans put in place for these players, in my opinion, for that. I think that is a massive thing to be looking at. It's definitely important, especially for young athletes. You guys have to understand, they're still developing, and they're 18 to 22 years old, typically speaking, unless you're BYU and you're 24 to 50. So it's like
– pretty much.
Yeah, but we all know, like, you're still developing, your body's growing, and you know, you're not – fully matured yet. So yeah, your body is gonna, you got to protect the players.
Did you know that Built Bar has nine delicious flavors, plus the occasional limited time flavor as well? Some of the flavors you can get right now are coconut and coconut almond, and then cherry, then raspberry, then mint brownie, then peanut butter brownie, double chocolate, and even salted caramel. There's literally a flavor for everyone. Also, Built Bars, they're tasty and healthy as well. Low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, and it's also great for that keto diet. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15, LOCKED15, and you will get 15% off your next order. Once again, go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Bet online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at Bet Online. Get all the latest news, odds, and even info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC/MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to Bet Online on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign up bonuses, and even contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to betonline.ag on your laptop or mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. And when you sign up, make sure you use promo code LOCKEDON. Once again, you use that promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, all one word. Bet online, your online sports book experts. In Indiana, where I'm from, the high school athletes, high school football players, that is, when I was in school, they played 15 games if you won the state championship. Recently, they gave the highest level player, the highest class, they gave them a bye. So it's 14 games. But a lot of the guys in Indiana, I mentioned that because Caden Curry, Ohio State recruit, not committed yet, but he is in the Indianapolis area. Won state championship last year in a shortened season, I believe, ended up possibly going to win the state championship this year. That's 14 games back-to-back seasons. Going from high school playing that amount of games to college is a different ball game. I get what the human body can do and the science that goes behind what the human body can do and really the hesitancy that the science does provide for the human body to protect it. 17 games is a lot. I think the human body can do it, but as you said so well, it takes the body and the mind 2 or 3, maybe 4 days to simply recover from what took place on Saturday in college, Sunday in the NFL, maybe even Monday. And unfortunately, it was at this point in our conversation that Shane and I had technical difficulties. But nonetheless, the show must go on. In football, the many car accidents that we do end up seeing every single week, Big Ten football especially, November, October, late October, November. We're going to be seeing football in December, possibly a home game in the shoe, which I think will be amazing in December. But that cold weather, when you're playing football, that effect on your body is a whole lot different, Shane, than when you're playing in September or early October.
Ooh, great points there. First off, going back to the high school comparison to, like, Indiana might be a little bit different than Idaho, where I'm from, where I reside at, you know, even at the high school basketball level, high school football level, and they're playing usually 9 games regular season. And then you got, you know, 3 games max to win a state championship. So 12 total games to win a state championship for football. Basketball, I mean, you got a high volume of games in basketball. It's a little different style, but you go to a state tournament after playing districts. After your regular season in high school basketball, it's only like a max of 6 to 8 extra games. That's if you were to win a state championship. So that's what I'm saying. Like, Idaho's a little bit different. Some states run things a lot. You have to go through a lot of different, you know, levels. Like you said, 14, 15 games, a little bit different than here. But even then, yeah, I think going into the collegiate level, it's a wear and tear on your body. Now, transitioning into what you just said about the cold games, I was actually going to bring that up as a con, Jay. What do you think, man? Can we bring that up as a con real quick?
You can. I mean, easily, because that's a legitimate thing. And I was talking to someone the other day about this, actually, Shane. You're going to have SEC schools that a lot of them don't normally travel up north or travel outside the geographical region down south. And they may have to come to, let's just say, a Boise State gets in. And Boise State is right there hosting a game. They might have to travel to Boise, Idaho. They might have to travel to Columbus, Ohio in December, second week of December, where it's cold. I have never been to Boise, but I believe I've heard that it's crazy cold out there. Columbus, Ohio, you just don't know. It could be 40s or 50s. It could be 20s or 30s. You don't know. It could be snow. It could be rain. Hopefully not rain in 40 degrees. That's really, really cold. But the weather, honestly, if they do host these home games, that's going to be that could be a con to this new format.
I think it's a con. And I know some people are going to be like, oh, well, you're going to be at home. Listen, okay? Listen, we saw what happened. Like, what cold weather, whatever, you know, toughness, everyone. But I am not a fan. I'm not an advocate of, like, crappy weather in football games. I think it sucks. It completely changes the game. It's part of the game, and I understand that. I'm a football fan. I've played football my whole life. I love it. But – same reason I always advocate for having an indoor Super Bowl. It's like you take the strength of one team versus the strength of another team and you go head to head. But when you, let's say you're a passing team or you rely heavily on speed, well, you go in somewhere where it's windy or it's snowy, all of a sudden that's completely neutralized and you don't get to see the skill versus the skill. Some teams are built to pass. Some teams are built to run. Some teams are built defensively. That's the beauty of them. Like not many teams are fully well-rounded all around. Like you have some strengths versus some strengths. That's the beauty. Styles make fights, that whole concept. And so I do feel like even for Ohio State, playing at home in crappy weather could be a problem. Like it's not like they're just going to be at an advantage because the SEC schools come up there. We saw it when they played Michigan State, when we couldn't move the ball because we couldn't throw it. So we had to try to run it. They were stacking the box. It allows teams to just neutral. And then all of a sudden it's like, okay, who can score first? And whether that be a field goal or whatever, maybe that's all it takes. And so I do have that fear. It's the same concept as playing an indoor Super Bowl. It has to be indoors for me or in a good weather place because it sucks. Look at the Colts when they had to play the Bears. You guys remember that Super Bowl? And, yeah, granted, it turned out okay, but Manning wasn't able to throw the ball. It was raining out there. It sucked. It was like, why? That sucks. You want to see Peyton Manning throw the ball all over the field because that's what he does. That's my same point here. I think that's going to be a massive con, actually, to this format, is at least the potential of hosting them at a site such as Columbus or, you know, any kind of cold weather area. It's part of the game. Yes, I understand. People are going to be like, duh, Shane. But I do think that could potentially ship some things. You just wait and see.
Oh, I think so, too. There are more cons, I think, that could come out there. I know I've mentioned the transfer portal, recruiting, how that could be a possible thing. I think you may have mentioned that one. Some cons that are there. There are pros to it. But when I think about just the totality of the landscape of this new format, I'm not sure. One con I honestly think, I don't know what you think about this, Shane, for Ohio State side. Ohio State fans, you may think, yeah, expand it. Go to 12. But is that going to be the end game? Let's just say, hypothetically speaking, that this 12-game team proposal goes through. Is that it? I mean, we have seen college football since the early 90s have numerous different ways to, well, since 98, have different ways to find the national championship, define who's going to win the national championship, and you still can't find people to agree on anything at all. Now, I made a debate with Shane about some things, but we're not going to, like, leave out of here and be mad at each other. Just, we love sports. It's what we do. But there are going to be people in these meetings that will remember things that are said right now, may reconvene and discuss this 5 years down the road. And, Shane, they might not agree 5 years down the road with the 12-team format. They might not agree right now, but the person that does not agree might get more power 5 years down the road and say, no, 12 teams, I don't like it. Let's go to 16. Let's go to 24. I don't like expanding it even more, but, I mean, college football, it just has a track record of always having people in charge find ways to shake things up. And then once they shake things up, 5-10 years down the road, there's another shakeup coming.
It's kind of part of our society and the way that we're culturally built. I think, Jay, is like for our goals in life, it's the goalpost is always moving. And, like, you'll see the successful ones, the ones that are happy, are the ones who, like, they stop moving the goalposts. They just keep it there and they keep living their lives. We always have a tendency to always move the goalposts and never to stay consistent. That's just how culturally the American culture is built. And to that point, I think you're right. It's going to change. It shouldn't. I think we should ride something out because no one's ever going to be happy, right? No one's ever going to be happy with the format. There's always going to be people mad. The people who thought that they're going to love the expansion, I promise you, you're not going to always love the expansion. There's going to be, as soon as you see the debates coming in, oh, yeah, well, guess what? You're mad that Alabama got in, even though they lost and then didn't win their conference. Wait till you get three or four of those schools in there, maybe a three or four loss. Now, probably a three loss SEC school gets in over a one loss Big Ten. Then we're going to have problems. Then you're going to see what happens when you expand the playoff, because now you're giving those guys, those three loss SEC schools, an opportunity to get in, you know what I mean, over a one loss or a two loss Big Ten. There's going to be so many issues. Sure, the top dogs will probably be in there. We'll be just fine. But there's going to be arguments everywhere. The commission's going to change everything up. The committee, I mean, is going to change everything up. I don't know, man. I'm not for expanding it to necessarily 16 teams. I was all for an 8-team playoff as well. You said 8 earlier. I was for an 8. I thought an 8-team playoff would have been perfect. Well, as close to perfect as you can get, because based on a format that you give, 12 is going to be iffy. There's going to be a lot of discussion there. But, yeah, I don't think it's ever going to be perfect. And the fact of the matter is we've got to find something and stick with it. The problem is college football as a whole, college athletics as a whole, we are already seeing the changes with the transfer portal, with name, image, and likeness potentially coming into play here shortly, and the NCAA losing a little bit of power that they have right now. We're seeing a change. So I'm right there with you. I would expect it to change. But to that point, you can't really tell until you have the data. And so all this is speculation. Everything is speculation. Oh, it would be so good if we expanded it. Okay, we won't know until we actually do it. We didn't know what the playoff was going to be like. Oh, we need a playoff format. So they put 4 teams in there and got rid of the BCS. It's been awesome. It's been fantastic for revenue. However, there's been a lot of debate. So we have data now. So I think you do have to put something in place to get the data. But I'm not surprised if we change it.
I want to end on one thing really quickly. Shane mentioned something that just sparked a thought in my head. Would you prefer, let's just say the 12-team format goes into effect. It starts in 2023. would you prefer the committee rank the teams or the BCS with a 12-team format?
Oh, that's a tough one, Jay. And it's hard to give a really quick answer. I'm going to say the BCS. I'm going to say computer system. Why? Here is why. I am a Biletnikoff Award voter, and I'm going to be honest with you guys, straight up. Here's how it works, and I've talked to coaches. Coach Zach Smith, who was with Ohio State, said the same thing when I talked to him. As a Biletnikoff Award voter, I am responsible for voting for the best wide receiver in the country, okay? I am not required nor held responsible to watch film on any of these receivers, okay? Every single week they send us out the names, the lists, and we vote on them through an online voting format. I do not have, if I didn't want to, I don't have to watch one piece of film. I just have to look at a name and a brand and say, oh, well, he looks good and look at the stats. I can be a stat watcher and put that there. There is human error. And I guarantee you, I will say this, for the 2 years I've been a Biletnikoff Award voter, I have done my very best to do my studying, but I can assure you that's not the case for everybody who's been in it for years and years and years and years, because that is very monotonous. There's no way to do it. There's not enough hours in the day. That's why I am against a committee voting. I know everyone says the computer systems don't show everything and blah, blah, blah. If you think that the committee with the human element added into this is perfect, you are far, far from being correct on that one. Like, yeah, it is so incorrect, and I can speak from experience. That's all I'm going to say.
I had no idea Shane was going to say that. I knew he was a voter for the Biletnikoff Award, but I already like Shane anyway. That's why he's here on the show. But that right there is a great explanation. I would have gone a different route as far as explaining what I think. But I do think the BCS system, the BCS computer polls, is a lot better than the human element we have right now. Shane, if you could let everyone know where they can catch you on Twitter, then also catch the shows you are on as well. This has been a lot of fun. We'll have to have you back on again sometime to talk ball, especially during the season. A lot going on at that time.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I appreciate you, Jay. Yeah, if you guys want to follow me on Twitter, go at the Game Time Guru. That's the name of my main podcast that I host. It's called the Game Time Guru. So just find me on Twitter at the Game Time Guru. But if you guys also like, you know, some other stuff, it's I wouldn't say it's a competitor to Locked On Buckeyes with Jay. We kind of go, you know, side by side. We work together. The Scarlet and Great Empire is where we have additional Buckeye content as well. But obviously, we don't want to call that a competitor. It's, you know, it's all Buckeye content at the end of the day. So, yeah, that's where we're at. Come find me if you want to interact. But, yeah, appreciate you, Jay, for having me on, man.
No problem, Shane. You guys can always follow me on Twitter at JSteven07. I told you we would have bonus coverage or bonus content this week. This is Tuesday. Look out for another show tomorrow on Wednesday. Possibly, can't say just yet. Possibly an episode on Thursday, but for sure, one on Friday.